From news across the world to events in your community, hear about it all on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. Again, Rob Setter starting out a fabulous week, fabulously, so we appreciate all his producer work. And Mr. Matt Catrillo's over in the newsroom keeping us up to date. We see a couple of traffic slowdowns in the valley, but no place unusual. All the usual. Route 11 northbound, Danville, Route 54 eastbound, Front Street, Sunbury, and Route 11 south going through Northumberland. Nothing additional beyond those usual slowdowns. On the news line with us now, Tim Schaefer is here. He's the new executive director of the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission. Welcome aboard, Tim. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Well, thanks for checking in. And tell me about this, your first trout season as executive director. Have you snuck out to see some of the fishing that's going on?
I did. So, I got out today. We have a separate opening day in southeastern Pennsylvania, which covers the Cumberland Dauphin County, where I live, and I was able to sneak out the Sunday of the opening weekend here on Clark's Creek, which is stream south of where you guys are, and had a great time.
And
it was wonderful to get back out.
Well, and tell me what happens. If folks aren't familiar with trout season, this is a family tradition, a friend tradition, where people go out streamside at that first moment at waiting desperately or very anxiously until 8 a.m., and they want to take advantage of the stock trout and, I guess, native trout, too.
Absolutely. So this coming Saturday, April 13th, will be our statewide opener. For listeners to this station, opening day of trout season will be this Saturday. Annually, the Fish and Boat Commission, we stock 3.2 million trout statewide. We have a network of trout hatcheries across Pennsylvania, and they have been out there. We call it our Great White Fleet. They've been out there stocking the waterways for anglers, and if anybody would like to see where we're stocking the fish and actually join us, we'd love to have people come join us when we stock the fish. Check at fishandboat.com. That's our website. Or we have a really easy to use mobile app, which is Fishboat PA, and you go on there and you can find all of our trout stockings. We list where they are, we tell you where we're going to be, show you the meetup spot, and again, we'd love to have volunteers come join us in the field to stock those fish for everybody.
And your predecessor weaponized trout when he used stocking manipulation to, punish lawmakers who weren't on board with a fee increase. So you inherit that unresolved dispute. How will you move forward in that area?
Sure. Well, we and our board of commissioners are on board with this. We are stocking just as many fish as we did last year. We're real excited about the quality of the fish that are there. And with the legislature, we've actually had a lot of them come out and join us to stock fish. One of the best ways that we can explain what we do is to make it relevant to people. And to have a state legislator or local officials come join us in the field really helps them to see how important fishing and boating are to the local economies of Pennsylvania.
And how are you working to get the fee increases that are needed?
Yeah, so this year the fees are the same as they have been, have not changed. We have a bill that would actually allow the agency to adjust the fees over time more gradually. The current system that we have, the legislature will set the fees, and it takes a long time in between the increases, so they have to be usually larger. But the idea is if the board could set the fees themselves with some legislative checks, you could moderate the increases over time, and they wouldn't impact anglers. But again, like to remind everybody that getting out there this year, the price of the license is the same as it has been for about 15 years. Great value. And other things we'd like to remind people they can do is they can buy a multi-year fishing license. That's a great way to have it handy, have it standing by in case you forget to get it. If you have a 3 or a 5 or a 10 year license, you've always got it there. They're at the ready to get out fishing.
There are fewer hunters than there were years ago. Are there fewer anglers?
There are. We hit our peak at about 1990, and that we've been gradually declining. But I'm happy to say that we're actually ahead in license sales this year. We have been helped by Mother Nature. We've had some really great weather for our opening day down here in this part of Pennsylvania. On Saturday, we had our second Mentored Youth Trout Day that some of your listeners may have participated in, where we open up trout season a week early for kids. So one of the strategies that we have is trying to look for as many opportunities to engage young people, have parents out there taking their kids fishing, showing how fun it can be, and frankly, how easy it can be.
One of the issues that we see each year is there might be few areas that can be stocked. Has mm-hmm. that been an issue this year? Are there some, you know, X miles that are not stocked this year?
Yeah, so we evaluate. Our biologists do a great job of evaluating where we do the stocking each year. Generally stays about the same, but in some cases we may have one of the most common reasons that we won't stock a stream that we had before is posting reasons. So people are oftentimes surprised to hear that we stock more fish on private land than we do on public land. But we only stock the fish on streams where landowners are gracious enough to open it up to public fishing. So one of the reasons that we may lose waters to stocking is really poor angler behavior, and a landowner just decides not to open it up. So one thing we remind people this weekend when you're out there is please, please, please be courteous. If you're on private land, you're the guest of the landowner, and just be respectful of them and their generosity at all times.
In terms of the water that people will encounter, how's the water quality? This is a big issue statewide where you're monitoring water.
Yep.
What do you know?
Yeah, so, you know, the streams, the fish that we were really happy, the fact that the streams that we'll stock the fish on, you know, can support them when they get there. Pennsylvania has 86,000 miles of stream, second only to Alaska. And certainly there are places with water quality issues. But by and large, things have been getting better and better, and there's more fishable water now than there really has been any of our lifetimes.
Are there any threats to waterways? We used to worry about the natural gas industry. I'm not sure that any threats panned out there. Any threats to the waterway?
Well, you know, with the gas industry, we actually work proactively with them, help them to avoid conflicts with waterways before they happen. So we've had a really, really good relationship there. As far as threats, if you just look downstream to the Chesapeake Bay and issues of sediment nutrients that are getting into the water, certainly they have local impacts as well. So stormwater runoff, trying to be mindful of that, trying to keep pharmaceuticals out of the water. If people do have unwanted medications, please make sure that you're disposing of them properly. I know Geisinger, who's in your backyard there, has a great program. Frankly, we have a medication take-back box here in our office where folks can dispose of unwanted or unused medication so they're incinerated rather than flushed down the toilet and getting into our local waterways.
There's a native trout survey that's been underway probably a better part of a half a decade or so in Pennsylvania. What's the status of that?
Sure, yeah. So what we do, and frankly want to thank a lot of the colleges and universities that are in your listening area, and a special thank you to a guy named Skip Weeder, who was really at the heart of a group called the Susquehanna River Heartland Coalition. It's a group of colleges and universities. We've worked with schools across Pennsylvania, but a lot from right there in the central Susquehanna Valley, where we engage university professors and their students to train them in the proper methodology to get out there and assess whether or not a stream has naturally reproducing wild trout in it. That data then comes back into our staff, gets verified, and if there are native trout or naturally reproducing wild trout in those streams, then we'll designate them as such, and then the Department of Environmental Protection, we're not the regulator, we advise them, but they make sure that those streams are receiving adequate protection. It doesn't mean that development can't happen there. We just want to be sensitive and make sure that we're doing things that are consistent with the fish populations and the health of those fish populations that are in the water.
Well, and a good stream is a good attractant to folks that are going to live there in these, if there is development there.
Sure. It's a good attractant for folks to live there, for local businesses. And, you know, fishing really is big business in Pennsylvania. It's over $1 billion industry. I was just up in northwestern Pennsylvania over the weekend for an open house at one of our hatcheries there. The Lake Erie watershed alone, just the Erie County, is about a little less than $50 million. So, and then you come into the area for where your listeners are. We've got really just great fisheries abound all over the place. And the local businesses where folks can, frankly, go to buy their fishing license today are really going to be feeling the benefits of that here as trout season kicks off.
All right, some little known trivia for you. The Susquehanna River Heartland Coalition for Environmental Studies, you mentioned WKOK is the original and only media partner of the coalition. So we've been there since the beginning. Since Skip first called us and said, hey, you want to sit in the back row at something where you're going to learn something? So I'll tell you what.
Well, it's been a great relationship. And again, we're really grateful to the schools, the administrators, the staff, the students, everybody. It's just been a wonderful relationship.
All right, well, yeah, and we just love being part of it, too. I hope it continues. It's kind of at a crossroads right at the moment, so we'll see what happens. Where does the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission get most of their, where do they get any of their revenue?
Sure, we're funded primarily by fishing licenses and boat registrations. It's called the North American model of fish and wildlife conservation, where it's called a user pays, user benefits model. People need to realize we don't receive general tax revenues. We're a self-funded agency. So it's really in our best interest to do everything we can to make sure that anglers are out there participating in the sport. They're the ones that support what we do, and we're here to support them. We're really mindful of the fact that we're using somebody else's money. We were cited a couple years ago by our legislative committee as being the most efficient natural resource agency in the country in how efficient and diligently we are in spending angler and boater dollars.
Well, part of that was sink or swim kind of thing, sort of a bad boating analogy, but with your fee increase not coming and you still had all the mission that you wished to fulfill, you sort of had to do that. So,
all right. Yeah, and frankly, we were doing that even before. I mean, that's been our philosophy, and I tell people all the time, you know, our staff, and I feel this way myself, if you can't look an angler in the eye and say we're spending your money wisely, we shouldn't be doing it. I mean, really, it's your funds, and we're using it for the benefit of the people that are out there participating.
Well, it's not a top-heavy organization, and we do see the Fish and Boat Commission officers out along the stream, so we know they're out there, so there's a lot going on. Well, Tim, you have an open mic here anytime. Visit us in person. You'd love to come up here. We're not too far from Shamokin Dam and Sealands Grove and Sunbury. We'd love to see you. Thank Mike Parker for producing today. We appreciate him getting us connected up with you. But, Tim, thank you for your time today.
You bet. Thank you. Have a great day.
That is Tim Schaefer.